I'm just going to walk off.
Good morning.
Oh, hello. Thank you. Thank you. I will be reading the scripture today. It is from John 10. So it's John 10, 10 and 11. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
Amen. Thank you, Kate. Morning. Doing all right this morning? Good. Well, let me tell you where we are. First of all, we're in Holy Week. Start Palm Sunday. And we do have baptisms all week long, so I'm really excited about that. So if you are somebody who would like to take that next step of faith, just fill out a Connect card, let us know. All right, so we're going to do some Wednesday, Friday, and also Easter Sunday. We don't have any scheduled for the egg hunt on Saturday, but hey, whatever it takes, we'll do it. I'll dunk you at the egg hunt Saturday morning, all right? Why don't we pray as we get started? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for being you. I mean, before we even come and ask for anything, we just go, man, God, you are so good. You're so faithful. You just are everything that is good. So, Father, help us to live in that reality, that truth here this morning and all the days of our lives. Father, bless this time. Holy Spirit, saturate this environment. Help us to see you more clearly for who you really are. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so who has read or seen the movie The Chronicles of Narnia? All right, so about half of you. I'm not usually big on Christian movies, not like because I'm against them, but just often because they're lame oftentimes. But Chronicles of Narnia is really good. And the book is really good. The movie is really good, especially the first one. I can't speak to the ones to follow, but I know the first one's really good. There's this line in there where the beaver is talking to this little girl, and they're talking about Aslan, who represents the character of God. And the question the little girl asks is he safe? Is Aslan safe? And the beaver goes, safe? Who said anything about safe? But he is good. See, it really all depends on what you mean by safe. Because when you follow after Jesus, undoubtedly, there are a lot of things in your life that are no longer safe. Your reliance on comfort is not safe. Your desire for prosperity is not safe. Your attachment to your stuff is not safe. Your ways of life, your very life, is not safe. Why? Because it is through death that ultimately you find life. See, there's so much in our lives that just aren't safe. It hurts sometimes to follow after Jesus. It does. Sometimes he needs to break us of some things in our lives. There are some things that just need to go altogether. And listen, as we talk about the Good Shepherd today, I'm not going to spend a lot of time making fun of sheep, all right? But I do have to say one time, sheep are not exactly at the top of the intelligence food chain, all right? Oftentimes, the sheep would just wander away from the shepherd. They go run in a ditch. Shepherd pull them out. They go run in the ditch again, or they just wander into all kinds of different realms, or they start to eat things that they shouldn't. They're like, wow, look at these wild mushrooms. They look good to eat, and then they get really sick afterwards, and then they do it again over and over and over again. So the shepherd decides, sometimes the shepherd would decide, the best thing, the most loving thing that I can do is break the legs of the sheep, throw them on my back, keep him there until his legs heal, and then when his legs heal, he'll know that he needs to stay next to the shepherd. Now, talk about not really being safe. Sometimes the shepherd has to break your legs. You want to talk about safe? That doesn't sound very safe, but it is good. I guess that's a question. In our Christian life, we got to realize sometimes the most loving thing Jesus can do for us is to do things like break our legs. He might create very hard tensions for us. And if you just want to hear how great you already are or just be affirmed and encouraged in everything, I mean, you can go find somebody who will tell you those things. But because Jesus, like Kate read for us, because Jesus wants us to live into the abundant life, That has to come through the death of some things. That has to come through some of the things, the ways of lives that we've had, got to be ditched. They got to go. See, the way into life, this is so important. Jesus says the way into life is through death. It's through the death of these things. And that's the fundamental problem when we get to John chapter 12 and Palm Sunday. Is Jesus in John chapter 11, man, really cool story, would love to have been there. And I'm not going to step on it too much because we're going to talk about it more next week. But resurrects this dude Lazarus, 4 days in the tomb, body starts stinking, everybody's gone to the funeral, and Jesus goes, "You're dead when I say you're dead, get up, because I am the resurrection and the life." And so, of course, this is leading into Passover, just a few miles from Jerusalem, so word travels fast. I mean, and everybody goes, "Did you see that dude Lazarus? We went to his funeral, but he's no longer dead because of this Jesus." So in John chapter 12, everybody is following after Jesus. I mean, because who wouldn't follow the guy who can resurrect dead bodies? So of course, you want to follow after him. But then when Jesus says that he's got to lay down his life, and if you want to follow him, you do too, everybody goes, "I'm out of here." I mean, you've never seen church people run out the door so fast. I mean, not even last year when the animal came in during VBS and people cleared out, it was faster than that. I mean, everybody just deserted him quickly. Why? This was confusing. I thought he was going to preserve our lives. I thought he was going to just make everything better. I thought, you know, Roman oppression is gone and financial prosperity is coming and we can finally put in that pool, man, because God is just, he's making things so much better for us. They didn't understand that the way to life has to come through the death of things. So critical for us to understand. Safe. There's a lot of things that aren't safe in our lives when we follow after Jesus. They go, "Hosanna, Hosanna," and they wave those palm branches, which means, "Save me, save me. Save me from the jaws of Roman oppression. Save me from the lack of security I have in my life. Save me from all these things. Just be the door into preservation of life." But Jesus instead says, "I also want to uproot some things in your life so that you can actually live into freedom." Isn't it possible we do the same kind of things today sometimes? Hosanna, save me from this disease. Hosanna, save me from this circumstance. Hosanna, save me in this relationship. Hosanna, save me from these people. Hosanna, help me get the job. Help my finances improve. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. But then when God says, "This is the way to abundant life. I want to uproot some things," then we go, "Ah, that's kind of yucky. That's gross. I mean, I liked it when you were doing the tricks in John chapter 6. I liked it when you raised that dead body. Man, do some more cool things like that, because that is really cool. I mean, if you could raise two bodies next time, that'd be amazing. That'd be worth following. You know, I mean, if you could have some kind of like the sixth sense type deal, you know, where it's like, boom, all of a sudden this guy who's dead, he's alive and we can see him. That's what they're thinking. Why not just do some more tricks? Why not just make our lives just easier, Jesus? Jesus goes, "Unless that kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it falls to the ground and dies, then it will produce many seeds." See, most people proclaim Jesus as their Savior, but few proclaim Jesus as their Lord. And if you proclaim him as Lord, then there will be some painful, painful things at times. Every kingdom prior to Jesus operated on the preservation of life. Jesus comes in and says, "In my kingdom, first thing you got to do is die. Because that is the way into ultimate fullness of life." All right. So that's John chapter 12, Palm Sunday. Last week, We stopped in John chapter 10, and now we're going to go back to John chapter 10. So I don't want to be confusing here, but last week we talked about how he is the door. He is the way into salvation. He is the way into eternal security. He is the way into satisfaction. All those things, right? But then he says, I am the good shepherd. As if to say, I'm the way in, but I'm also the one who guides you, leads you, instructs you, protects you, encourages you, does whatever it is that you need in order to experience the abundant life. And again, sometimes that means breaking your legs so that you'll stay close to the shepherd. All right, let's pick up in verse 10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Again, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? All right, let's start with the division here in verse 19. We got to know that Jesus didn't just come to bring unity. That's important. We have to know that unity has to be under Christ. He didn't just come to make everybody one. He came to make everybody one under Christ. That's why in our nation, we don't just say one nation. We say one nation under God. That has to be the form. It has to be under Christ. And whenever you're talking about putting everything under Christ, sometimes there's tension there for people. There's division. They don't want everything to be under Christ. And so in that realm, we've got to understand that division is okay in that realm. We got to know that. That's okay. Because why? If we want to have real unity, it has to be under Christ. We don't choose the idea of oneness over everything being under Christ, because that true unity has to be under him. That's critical. Don't be afraid of division if it's about aligning things under Christ. Now, I want to get to the shepherd for most of our time, but we do have to analyze the three other beings represented here. The sheep, the hired hand, and the wolves. They very much likely represent the John chapter 9 story we talked a little bit about last week. That Jesus heals this blind man. He gives him sight. And these people don't like it very much. But he represents the sheep because he encounters Jesus and then he's no longer blind. And the Pharisees come up to him. And they're like, hey, what happened? And he's like, I don't know. I was blind. I encountered Jesus. I was no longer blind. And then they come up to him later again. What happened? I don't know. I was blind. I encountered Jesus. I was no longer blind. I'm not sure. And then finally, he has this boldness. And he's like, hey, you guys should maybe consider following him too. And of course, they kick him out. And he boldly steps into that anyway, and he knows the cost. But for him, see, this is what we got to understand. Jesus is worth you losing the safety of your religion. Got to understand that. Jesus is worth losing your job over. Jesus is worth losing your house over. He's worth losing the safety of everything, all of it. Why? Because he's Jesus. And where he's going, that's the place that we've got to be. There's real cost to it. But this man goes, I'm just going to go where Jesus goes because I'm his sheep. I hear his voice, and his voice is calling, and that's where I go. I am led into where my shepherd wants me to go. But then you have the hired hand. which most people believe are the Pharisees, so go listen to those who say that. I actually believe he's really referring to the blind man's parents here, or at least this in-between mentality. The Pharisees come to the parents and they ask them for the description of what happened. And you got to think there's this tension in their heart. I mean, you know, they're really excited about this guy who came in and gave their son sight. And yet at the same time, they fear the Pharisees because if they follow Jesus, they're going to get kicked out too. Perhaps they've been working financially for security for decades. And so they go, I don't really know. Just go pass the buck and just go ask him what he thinks because he's of age. At the first sign of trouble, the hired hand kind of backs away. They just wipe their hands clean and they just go, ask him. See, they were taking care of the sheep to an extent, but when the wolves came, they were like, nah, bro, I don't get paid enough for this. I'm out of here. Perhaps maybe we do the same thing at times. God, I'll follow you to an extent, but when things get real tricky, I'm out. God, I'll follow you until I like really want to have sex with my girlfriend or my boyfriend. Or God, I'll follow you until I'm like really mad, and then when I'm upset with somebody, I'm just going to lose it. I'm just done. To an extent, I'll follow you until there's real cost. At the first sign of trouble, they back away. God, I want to follow you, but only to an extent. Only until there's real cost, and then I'm out. That's what the hired hand did. Now, sadly, I believe the wolves in this story to be the Pharisees. Perhaps some combination of the Pharisees. I mean, I wouldn't call Nicodemus in John chapter 3 a wolf. I would call him a hired hand. It's a mixed bag here. But a lot of these Pharisees, they just want to devour the sheep for their own gain. The wolf comes and has no thought for the sheep, no love, just desire. They're kind of like how I am with bacon. I don't love bacon. I want to devour it. I mean, I smell that crackling bacon, and I'm just like, yeah, just give it here, right? I'm not seeking its benefit. I don't love it. I desire it. I want to devour it. That's how the wolf looks at the sheep. This is an opportunity for my own gain. It's just like the world. I mean, if you go to a non-Christian business, a lot of times this happens. You go to a non-Christian car dealership, and you walk in there, oh, man, you're their best friend, aren't you? Hey, how you doing? Here's a drink. Oh, you look good. You new to the area, right? All that stuff. But then you purchase the car, and months later, you can't pay. They are not your friend anymore, are they? Why? It's just all about gain in that. That's the way of the world. But it's not the way of our shepherd. See, in contrast, that gets us to the shepherd. There's all love from the shepherd. Love to the point of giving up his life for the sheep. When times get hard, our shepherd leans in. When the hurricane comes, he battens down the hatches and he rides it out. He constantly thinks about the sheep and the benefit of the sheep. So when the wolf comes, he, while thinking about the sheep, gives up everything to protect the sheep, even his own life. When he goes to the cross, he does it for the sheep. When the nails get driven in his hands, he's thinking about the sheep. When the crown of thorns gets put on his head, he's thinking about the sheep. When the lashes come over and over again, he's thinking about the sheep. He fiercely loves the sheep. He gives all for the sheep because he is the good shepherd. If you go back to the original translation here of I am the good shepherd, what he's actually saying is, I am the shepherd, comma, the good one. And I like that translation a lot better. Why? The implication here is that he is the only good shepherd. All the rest of us are ripoffs. I'm a ripoff. Any lead church leader, any elder, anybody you've encountered are all ripoffs. You got one good shepherd, and that's it. That's why I say over and over again from this stage, you should be able to hear from anybody. If the substance is Jesus, you can gain from them. And as I've told you before, I'm two decisions away from moral failure, always. Not to mention anything can happen with my health in a second. Not to mention that while I'm here, I am going to make mistakes that are undoubtedly going to hurt at times. But if he is your shepherd, everything else is going to be okay. And that's the point here. You don't put stock in anybody else, the hired hand, the wolves, anybody. He is your shepherd. He is the good one. Again, not safe to everything in your life, but always good. Let's look at this statement from Jesus that he lays down his life for the sheep. If you go back to the Greek here, he's not just talking about his physical life. He's talking about his entire being was laid down on the cross on our behalf. His soul was crushed on the cross, man. The heavy weight of all that sin was not just on his body, but he completely despaired in his spirit. It was something that he signed up for, and it was all for you. It was all for me. This is the love of our shepherd. Do you know? Don't you know how loved, fiercely loved you are by your shepherd? This meaning of good, when he says good shepherd, it's totally beautiful is the meaning here. It means there is no bounds to his love. It means he doesn't even count the cost before he loves you. He just goes, I'll deal with the fallout later, but I love the sheep. I'm compelled by love for the sheep. I think about them. My heart is heavy for the sheep. I have this deep love for the sheep. I mean, isn't that somebody that you can follow? I mean, isn't that somebody that you would let break your legs if needed? God, I'm just going where you go. And the safety of my life and all those things, I trade those. Because guys, at the end of the day, we got to choose our safe. We have to choose our safe. Don't protect the things that don't really truly love you at the end of the day. Your pride doesn't really love you at the end of the day. Your worry, your anxiety, your sin habit, all those things, they don't really love you at the end of the day. But your shepherd does. And he wants abundant life for you. Fullness of life. And sometimes that means doing things like breaking your legs because he loves you so deeply. Worship team, you guys can come back up. Don't you know the immeasurable love of the shepherd? Until you know that, I'm just telling you, nothing else matters. This morning, I was looking at the story of the lost sheep. And one thing I didn't really pick up on, I mean, you think I would, as a pastor, I should know this, but after he finds the sheep, he throws them over his shoulder, joyfully goes, hey, I got to tell you, I found my sheep. I mean, don't you picture Jesus going, hey, angel, hey, buddy, over here, I just got to tell you, my sheep was lost before, and now he's found. Why? Because, man, he puts every resource in play to go after that sheep. Goes to every height, every depth, on behalf of his sheep. And if that sheep is in the jaws of a wolf, this shepherd will lay his life down so that the wolf will no longer attack the sheep, but can run freely. It's the kind of shepherd we have, guys. Last thing I want to say, and we'll continue to worship. Second song we did, Miracle in Me. Man, I was wrecked by that first line. I just reached for your hymn. Jesus is so at the ready to love you that without even thinking about it, this woman just goes, she says, man, I got to get to Jesus. I got to get to Jesus. I got to get, and just touches the garment. And power just goes out of him. Why? Because he just can't help but be available to you. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just like it's an impulse. It's just a reaction. It's just, I'm going to love the sheep. I don't know how you come in this morning, but I just find so often that most of our problems stem from the reality that we just don't understand how deeply loved we are. And so next time you get anxious, next time you feel insecure, next time you think you need to prove yourself, next time you think you need to give into that sin habit, I just need you to hear these words. I am the good shepherd. And I lay down everything for the sheep. Guys, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of love I can get behind. And I hope you will too. Let's pray. Father, oh, the love of the shepherd who goes any means necessary. I want that one. Father, help us to be remade in that reality. Help that truth to drown everything else completely out as we just sit in the presence of our great shepherd who fiercely and passionately loves us with everything. Father, would you help make us a church that clings to that reality? We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's worship.